Tonight, what I'm going to do is review my letter that I sent out for this month. It's entitled, Fight for Your Nation. And that is also the title of the message tonight. Now, I know that out of all the letters I send out, well, I'm kind of confident not everybody reads them. I'm not offended by that. You know, maybe they'll read them later on. I'm not sure. But this one needs to be, for the sake of the people that watch or listen who don't get my letters each month, they need to hear this. And so this is entitled, Fight for Your Nation. As you well know, here in, well, roughly a month and a half, we're going to have elections here in the United States to decide who will be our next president. And along with that, elections are going to be held deciding who is in authority in several different positions on the national, state, and local levels. So it's not just for president. Now, some of these folks who are running for these various positions are voices of pure evil. Now, there's no other way to get around that. Voices of pure evil. And even though they can speak with a smile on their face, you know, we saw that the other night, they are voices of pure evil. Absolutely. And whether I doubt that they truly understand what they've done, but they have aligned themselves in full compliance with Satan to turn people away from every righteous standard that God has declared in His Word. There's no other way to get around that. Now, this has been going on for years, but it's gotten to the point now to where it is so blatant. It's just unbelievable. There is absolutely, well, I'll say it like this. It's like there's no conscience whatsoever in these folks. Well, there are those, however, that they truly want biblical morality, even if they're not born again. You don't have to be born again to not be in favor of all the foolishness and the sin and the evil that's going on out there. I mean, there are, you know, parents that can be lost. They can be atheist, and they don't want their children exposed to all this stuff that's going on. So there are candidates running for various levels of offices, and they truly want what we know as biblical morality. And some people may refer to it as just plain conservative values, but so many of those conservative values, they directly line up with biblical morality. And they want that to be the standard of how our nation is governed. That's what they're after. Well, along with those candidates at all these different levels are the people who support them. And all you have to do is drive through the neighborhoods and you'll see signs. Signs for whoever is running for whatever. And it's interesting, I've noticed that more of the supporters, you can call them voters if you want to, but more of the supporters, more are voicing tremendous displeasure with the perversions, the filth, and really the mindless compromise that's demonstrated by so many politicians. In other words, what's happening is more people, they're starting, you know, for quite a period of time, people were becoming more accommodating to live and let live. You know, I mean, if those people want to live like that, they can live like that. But it's gotten to the point now to where people are saying, hold on, hold on. You know, what you want to do in the privacy of your own home is one thing. But you're bringing this stuff out and trying to shove it down our throats. No. I mean, there are even Democrats, people who are considered liberals, who are now standing up and saying, this is going too far. No, we got to back off. Something's got to change. Absolutely. You have some high-ranking Democrats who over the last couple of months have said, that's it. I am no longer a Democrat. I can't go with this anymore. They've gone too far. And you have, you know, these people, though, who are blinded by the God of this world. And they're standing in agreement with these candidates who want to just totally push God out of our society. They want to just welcome evil, sin, vile behavior into every segment of society. They don't care what it is. I mean, seriously, you got to be really, really weird and messed up to approve of these transgender folks going into libraries, public libraries, for readings to children. And if you've ever seen some of the pictures of these men who go in like that, it's weird. I mean, folks, now it's just weird. It's almost like some of these men are, it looks like Halloween. It's bizarre. And they dress like that and they think they're normal. Like, well, it's just, this is okay. No, it's weird. It's really weird. You know, years ago, and I mean, I don't know, maybe like 40, 50 years ago, how old am I? Okay, let me just say it like this. There was a time in our nation's history, people like that would have been shot on sight. They'd have considered them, okay, that person's out to do nasty stuff. They'd have killed them. They'd arrest them. They'd be put in jail. They would not be allowed to be out in public. But it goes on. And really, this has to be so tremendously heartbreaking to God. You know, that some of these supporters of Satan's approved candidates, they also profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I don't mean it's just a passive declaration. They tell you, I'm born again. I have accepted Jesus Christ. They'll quote Scripture. And they truly mean that, because at one point in their lives, they did confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. But now they're supporting this. They're supporting these candidates. There was a leader of a denomination, the Church of God in Christ, the person who's the head of that. He publicly stood up and approved of the Democrat presidential candidate who, in my opinion, is the most evil individual who's ever run for office. Absolutely. Absolutely. When somebody stands up and they make a statement, this is what is going to happen when I am the president. It's almost like they're saying, God, get out. You know, go create another universe if you want. But I'm going to be in control. And I'm going to see to it that every form of perversion is made legal and protected in this country. Okay, that's off the deep end. And I don't care how nice and how sweet and how smiley a person like that can come across. That is pure evil. That years ago, hear me now, years ago, that kind of a candidate would never, ever have gotten into a primary. It would never have happened. But now that person, which is interesting, because that person is running for president and never won a primary in her life. This is a strange election, folks. And it is being, people say, well, you've got these people in the back rooms. They're the ones really controlling. All right, first off, get off the conspiracy wagons. All right, just stop it. And don't come around me talking that way. Don't send me the emails. What's really behind this? It's people whose hearts are hardened to God. That is who's behind it. And Satan is motivating. He's not controlling, he's motivating. That's what it comes to. Now, that brings up the question. You know, who should we vote for in all these elections? Who? From president all the way down to dog catcher. I don't know if there's such an election for dog catcher, but from the president on down, you know, who should we vote for? Well, we need to consider what God has said in His Word. Now listen to this. In Psalm 33, verses 11 and 12, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Okay, that's not going to change. And then in Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked, beareth rule, the people mourn. Can you not see these passages of Scripture alive and well today in our society? And these were written thousands of years ago. God gave the warning. He said, here's the deal. Here's what's going on. Now, knowing these verses to be true, eternally true, no matter what we do, we're not going to change these verses. Then, do you want people making laws and governing you who are in favor of abortion, LGBTQ stuff and policies, removal of the Bible, prayer, and Ten Commandments from schools and courtrooms, endorsement of religions that deny Jesus as Savior, and removing parental rights concerning children? Do you want those people in charge telling you what to do? Or do you want to live in a nation that is blessed of God, wherein there is rejoicing instead of mourning? Which do you want? Which do you want? Here's the crazy thing about it. People would look in this country and they'll say things like, oh, you know, stuff's not too bad right now. No, it is. It is. But it's happened so slowly, we've become accustomed to deterioration. That's just like when you see a car that has a little bitty tiny spot of rust on it. You know what you better do? You better deal with that rust right then, because what that rust on the outside means, the rust underneath is worse. So if you don't deal with it now, eventually that rust is going to spread and spread and spread, and you could lose sections of your car. Well, see, that's what's going on now. We become accustomed to the conditions in this country, and it's like, well, you know, I got a jar of peanut butter and jar of jelly and, you know, loaf of bread. I'm good to go. In other words, we think everything is okay, but it's not. It's interesting how people complain about, oh, the prices. Have you seen how much it costs just to get by? Okay. Why do you think that is? It's because there's been a violation of the Word of God. This is not rocket science. But even Christians are blinded to this. Now, yeah, we should vote. But along with our vote, we need to address the influencing power that is truly behind the purveyors of sin and abomination. It is Satan and demons. That's who's really behind all this. The Apostle Paul identified this conflict. He said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's Ephesians 6:12. And he explains the nature of this fight. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So God is telling us, here's what's going on. You know, you see the fruit of the demonic behavior through these politicians and all the stuff that's going on. What's really behind it is Satan doing his thing. And people yielding, especially in the body of Christ. Even if, you know, the book of Romans, Paul wrote about this, God warned about it, said, you know what, you may not be involved, but when you give your approval to those who are doing it, you are equally guilty. Equally guilty. And I'm telling you right now, you've got a lot of Christians out there, they think everything is okay between them and God, but they're approving of all this stuff. You need to know. God says, in the Word, He says, you are worthy of death. And He's not talking physical death. He's talking eternal separation from Him. You can't go along with this. See, we are to tear down and defeat demonic strongholds using the spiritual weapons that God has given to us. Warring in the realm of the spirit requires a spiritual approach. I've heard people, we're going to tear down the devils, we're demons, we're going to shut him down, and they want to do things like a Jericho march. You know, seriously? That is great entertainment for demons. You know, they sit there and they watch people walking around in circles. You know, Jericho, we got the victory, we got the victory. And can you see those demons? Like, there they go. It's a joke. A Jericho march is not a form of spiritual warfare. Now, exception. If God clearly says, this is what I want you to do, then you do it. But to just do it because you think that's how it's done, no, you're wrong. It doesn't work that way. How do you do spiritual warfare? Jesus is our example. Every time he engaged a demon in battle, he shut it down and cast it out with his words. Every time. Every single time. When somebody showed up, it was demon-possessed, and they're, you know, doing their demon-possessed thing. He didn't say, all right, you done had it now, devil. You done had it. And he didn't do a Jericho march around that person 7 times to make that devil come out. He just said, come out. Come out, you unclean spirit. Come out. And they obeyed. They did what he said. Now, this is the pattern we are to follow. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6 and chapter 5, verse 10 declare that Jesus has made Christians kings and priests unto God. Now consider what God has said about kings. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? In other words, who can stop him? Where the word of a king is, there is power. The word power in that verse comes from the Hebrew word shilton. And it means mastery, powerful, as in the words of a king being supreme, having power over, carrying the connotation of legitimate authority, not just power that persons claim they have or have taken from others. Meaning, it's something that has been given unto you. It's come from God to us. God has declared that as kings unto him, our words carry legitimate authority. When we speak against demons, as Jesus did, we are exercising our God-mandated authority to stop what they're trying to do. Now, you don't wait until the attack to get ready for the warfare. Now, here's what I mean. You know, too many Christians, they just go through life, they're coasting, then all of a sudden, something happens. You know, well, the devil is attacking. Now, all of a sudden, they're spiritual. Now, all of a sudden, you know, I bind you, devil, and I tell you. No, hold on. You got to live it. You understand what I'm getting at? You've got to live that lifestyle. I'm talking the Christ-like lifestyle to be able to do what Jesus did. Furthermore, the words we speak cannot be random declarations birthed out of wishful thinking. Since God has decreed us to be his kings on earth, then his words are what we need to speak. Listen to this from Isaiah chapter 51. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. But I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. So God is saying, look, if you want to know what to say, I put my words in your mouth. Now, how does he do that for us today? It's not like we sit around and think, okay, God, give me some words to say. No, you know what? You got a whole book full. It's called the Bible. You've got a whole book full of words that God wants to put in our mouth. God is making it explicitly clear that when we speak his words, It opens a door for him to be moving and releasing his power to accomplish amazing results, things that we cannot do by ourselves. We are to use Scripture as the foundation for what we speak, including how we engage in spiritual warfare. It's very important. This is never more true than when we are battling demonic forces trying to rule over our country through elected officials. Voting is definitely necessary, but we absolutely must attack the demonic powers. We must. And I mean, if we don't do this, then we have no reason, no right, no justification for bellyaching about who's in charge. In other words, we do our part. We at least give it the effort. Another valuable and necessary component of this spiritual warfare is worship. Turn over to Psalm 149. This aspect of spiritual warfare, worship, it's a key ingredient to spiritual warfare. See, God has revealed in Scripture that He has anointed and empowered praise and worship of His children to be a weapon against all demonic powers and to bind them and execute defeat to all their plans. Now listen to this. Psalm 149, beginning in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. What is that two-edged sword? Okay, that's the Word of God. And a two-edged sword in their hand. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Why? Here's why. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all His saints, praise ye the Lord. And that's not just talking about, you know, warfare in the natural against human beings. Now He's talking about what's behind all of this. To bind the demonic powers from being able to accomplish everything they want. You can be at home and just start worshiping God, and you know what? You're entering into spiritual warfare. That's what He says right here. That's what is happening. It doesn't have to be some deep, heavy, I bind you, devil, I bind you, I bind you. Just start worshiping God. If you're going through it and you feel like you're being attacked by the enemy, worship the Lord. Because God has anointed it to be a form of warfare against the enemy. Now, it would be very strategic from a spiritual warfare perspective to always include a time of praise and worship along with confessions. Along with these declarations, these confessions that we're going to be making here in just a moment. When we praise God, we are literally entering into a realm of His presence and anointing that can be accessed no other way. You can pray in tongues, you can read the Word, confess the Word, you can fast, you can do all of that. But praise and worship is a different avenue into the very presence of God. It is supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit and is a direct assault against demons and the gates of hell, their authorities, their powers. Prayers, confessions, and worship are how you fight for your nation, no matter where you live, no matter what country. This principle is for every nation on the planet, every nation. These are kingdom keys that we use in our authority as God's children through which He moves. Do not let Satan, demons, and corrupt individuals dictate the course of our lives and nation. As believers, we can make a difference. Jesus has defeated our enemies, making a show of them openly, and has given that victory to us. Praise God. The body of Christ needs to figure this out. And too many just sit back and well, let's see what happens. So what we're going to do is go through these confessions. And we're not going to actually read the verses of Scripture on which the confessions are based, but we're just going to read the confessions. So get those out, and let's begin. Father, I come before you on behalf of our nation. We, your children, have sinned, committed iniquity, done wickedly, and have rebelled by departing from the fullness and standards of your word. We have not paid attention to those you have raised up, who speak your truth and called us to repentance. We have not held the pastors and other ministers of your word accountable for their sin and doctrinal error. We have fallen short of your desires. I personally repent for my sin and failure in all these areas. I also ask you to forgive us, your church, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hear this prayer and choose this place to yourself for a house of sacrifice, as I offer to you my own life as a living sacrifice and my praise as the sacrifice of my lips. Choose this house and sanctify it as a holy dwelling place of your presence. May your name and your heart dwell here forever. Father, as you have forgiven me all sin for Christ's sake, I choose to forgive every person their transgressions against me. Just as you loved me and gave your Son to be the sacrifice for my sins, I recognize Jesus as the sacrifice for all sins committed against me. I love those who committed those sins in the same way that you love both them and me. I ask that you do not hold them accountable for any wrong they have done unto me. Father, please move in our land. Heal our nation. May the glory of your presence be known. Lord, I present myself to you as one who is willing to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before you on behalf of our nation. I lift up our President, Vice President, Congress, Supreme Court, and all who are in leadership at all levels of government, from the national level to the local level. Please forgive our leaders for their sin and ungodly actions, laws, and positions that are opposed to your word. Touch their lives with your presence. May they all know Jesus in a personal way as Savior and Lord. By faith, I call them born again and filled with your Holy Spirit. I present to you my prayers, my confessions, and my praise and worship. Use it all in the way you want to bring about your will. Release your glory and anointing through me to bring about the changes you desire. Father, I lift up the coming elections. Please keep moving on the hearts and minds of all voters concerning those running for president and every office on a national, state, and local level. Draw our attention to those for whom we should vote. May we all see the truth about each candidate. I come against a spirit of confusion that would want to cause people to vote for the wrong person. I declare the spirit of confusion bound in Jesus' name. You silence your tongue. You will not have an impact on this nation and the body of Christ concerning these elections. No demonic plan for stealing, killing, destroying, or interfering with the elections will succeed. I call the Father's will to be accomplished in the upcoming elections. Satan, I call you and all your devils fallen from all levels of authority, influence, and interference in the elections. All of you spirits are subject unto me in Jesus' name. Nothing of yours shall by any means hurt the candidates in this election. Jesus has completely and totally defeated you and all of your principalities, powers, and devils. He made an open show of you and triumphed over you for all eternity. Jesus is the Lord of every part of the elections. The victory of Christ is known in the elections. I speak to you, principalities assigned to our nation's capital and the elections. In the name of Jesus, you are cast down. Your rule is broken. Your mind is filled with confusion. You cannot think straight to carry out your plans. You speak against other devils, and your house is divided. It cannot stand. It has come to an end. You are thoroughly and utterly defeated. You cannot rise back up to your seat. You walk in blindness. Division has filled your camp. Our nation's capital and these elections are totally and completely loosed from your hands. The seat of authority in this nation is occupied by righteousness. Jesus, the government of your kingdom rests upon you, and I say that our nation's government rests on you. May the person God wants as our president be filled with a continual flow of anointing from the Holy Spirit, kingdom knowledge, and the wisdom of God concerning every decision, including those pertaining to the presidential campaign. I come against every principality, power, and ruler of darkness and spiritual wickedness that would present a stronghold against godly leaders and against Congress. I speak to you and command you to be cast out now in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against our leader shall prosper. And I call condemned every tongue that would rise up against them in false judgment. Father, judge those who run for any office as to how they stand concerning your word and holiness. We do not fear them or their threats and promises to steal this nation from your kingdom and use it to further their plans for abortion, sexual perversions and abominations, suppression of the gospel, and all other unholy plans which conflict with your word. Break the power of their wickedness. Break the influence of their words, and may their pride take them down. Laugh at them and have them in derision. They call evil good and good evil and are wise in their own eyes. Destroy their wisdom and bring to naught their foolish words and policies. Lord, make your words in our mouth fire, and may the plans of the enemy be as wood, consumed and devoured by that fire. Set ambushments against all those running for office and those in the media who support them, who are supposed to your word and holy standards. They are enemies of the cross. May confusion fill their camps as it did in the camps of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. May they turn against each other. May their words return to them as their own judgment. May their words be as weapons against themselves and swallow them up in defeat. May they devastate each other. May their campaigns, plans, and agendas collapse at their feet. May the foolishness in their hearts come forth from their mouths in a way that would cause even the media to turn against them. Move in such a fashion that all ungodly and unholy plans and motives will be fully exposed and brought to light. May their words against truth and holiness turn into the death of their political campaigns. May they eat the fruit of their words. May they be swallowed up by the foolishness that proceeds from their lips. May they be shamed in the eyes of your church and the lost. May the abundant riches of the spoils of their defeat be transferred into the kingdom of God. Father, move upon your church and lay intercession on all those who make themselves available to you for that kind of prayer. Move upon the pastors of your churches that they would call for times of prayer over these elections. I say in the name of Jesus that the righteous are in authority and that our nation rejoices. Jesus, you are Lord over this ministry. You are Lord over this region. You are Lord over this state. You are Lord over this nation. It is your land. May all its inhabitants fear and stand in awe of you. In your hand there is power and might, and no one can withstand you. You are our God, and we dwell in you. You hear our cry and our prayers. We stand here covered in the shadow of your hand. Your words fill our mouth, and we speak them forth to establish your will in our nation. Use your words that we speak to plant foundations of righteousness in our nation, so that you would desire to call the people of this nation your people. Father, this battle is not ours, it is yours. You are with us. O God, we praise you and we worship you, for your mercy endureth forever. We praise you for the beauty of your holiness. We praise you for our salvation. We exalt you and glorify you for the victory in these elections. We call this nation a valley of Berakha, blessed of the Lord. We rejoice with great joy at the victory of the Lord. Father, as heirs of salvation, we ask that angels be dispatched to assist these things to be done. Angels, go to your assignments as the Father directs. Enforce the victories we have spoken this day and drive back the forces of evil. May the glory of the Lord fill this country, and may revival fires burn with unprecedented intensity. Satan, you are defeated in our nation and in all of the upcoming elections. Jesus is the Lord over our nation in the upcoming elections. May the Father's will be done in our nations. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. Everybody stand. We're going to close out tonight with worship unto our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah.